You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday, so you know what that means. It's Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Holt, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. We are doing the Michigan Mailbag because it's Thursday, and we're doing it right on time. In the time of day, we're back on schedule, so that's good. Let's start with our leaders and best, James Crudup's at James Crudup 6. Do you feel like the admissions department should make some changes when it comes to athletics, or do you like it as it is? Here's the thing that makes it difficult, right? Because I do think that they should make the changes for athletics, right? Michigan shouldn't be in the situation that it's in with like the Caleb Love situation or any of these guys that it, because it makes the university look bad too. I'm thinking of DeMar Dorsey as well. I mean, that's forever ago, but 11, 12, 13, 14 years ago. Well, more than that, 15, 16. It makes the university look bad. It makes the program look bad. And I know that they don't care about things like that, but they should. The problem is if you can't get into Michigan and... We'll get to a little bit more of the admission stuff. There's a few questions here, but it's what happens is it's going to be difficult for you to be able to deal with the class aspect. That is true. Certainly, people can persevere, but they don't want to set people up for failure either. So there should be some kind of... It shouldn't just be like this cut and dry, like, sorry, not admitted. It should be, especially if you're like Caleb Love coming from a good school like North Carolina. How is that not working out, right? Like, it's, you got to figure out a way to make that happen, especially with the transfers. The transfers is the big thing. Transfer admissions needs to be overhauled, because if you're able to hack it at another school, you should be able to come to Michigan, right? Without having this transfer, whatever. Now, if you have a 2.0 in high school, that's probably a different story, right? Like, you're probably not going to be able to do the football and the academics and all of that. And Michigan's just a little bit more rigorous, or a lot more rigorous, depending on where you end up, right? But it's not like, okay, this kid's not going to Michigan, then he's going to go to Stanford or Northwestern. No. But if you're getting accepted to any, if you're able to go to any other Big Ten school, then at this juncture, I think you should be able to get into Michigan as an athlete, because it's not that different from the other Big Ten schools. So we'll see where Caleb Love ends up. But yeah, it's disappointing. Josh Barr, Jadicky, how are you feeling about the lacrosse team making their first run in the NCAA tournament? I mean, personally, I'm ambivalent, but I will say this. It's come a long way. For those who don't know, there wasn't a lacrosse team. I don't remember what year it started, 2016, something like that. There wasn't an actual varsity lacrosse team. And it's a credit to how quickly things have been able to kind of turn around for them to win the Big Ten tournament, I believe, and to make this run in the NCAA tournament. I mean, to go from nothing to that is incredible. I don't know offhand who their current coach is, but big credit to John Paul, my guy. I know he's moving from Ann Arbor, but he's the one who was the first head coach for the lacrosse team. He was there for a few years and then moved on, and this current coach is the one that's lifted them to that next level. So, but I mean, you got to start somewhere. And if the fact that they're here this quickly is pretty amazing, especially just for not being the Maryland's or UConn's or those types of schools. So that's impressive. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Did you hear the Drake Nugent interview with John Jansen? Not yet, actually. I have it saved. I just didn't, and I was going to write off of it yesterday, and I just didn't get a chance to do so. Sounds like he has the perfect attitude for the team. I'm very excited to see him play. I mean, if hopefully it wasn't that just got you excited. If you listened to the Max Chadwick interview, that should be the one that gets you super hyped. Just kind of given where he thinks he can go. I mean, he thinks he's going to be Olu 2.0. if that's the case, man, I mean, lock up the Big Ten championship right now. They're probably going to do that anyway, I think. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. What bowl game would you most like to see Michigan play in at least once? Well, I mean, they've played. There's none that they haven't played in. I don't believe that it's not like there's one out there that I'm like, oh man, I wish they could play in that. Because I mean, most of it's like, you know, the New Year's Six, and they've played in all of those. Now, as far as me personally wanting to see them to be able to go in person, the Sugar Bowl would be the one that I'd probably want the most. Honestly, I know this is going to be very unpopular. I don't really care that much about the Rose Bowl, at least in the current incarnation. Yes, I grew up with the idea of Michigan making the Rose Bowl as the only true destination. But it got ruined for me a little bit because my cousin played for Oregon State back when Oregon State had its really good year. They took out USC on Thursday Night Football, and they played UCLA a couple weeks later, and I just went for the first half, and it magical setting, but it was completely ruined by the UCLA of it all, which was a bad team. Oregon State really struggled in that game. It just didn't have the traditions and things. I know it's a different thing when it's a bowl game, but and also living in LA and all of that stuff. Like, I love Pasadena. I really do love Old Town Pasadena. It's just a really cool area. I don't care as much about the Rose Bowl. Sugar Bowl I want to go to because I've never been to New Orleans. Cotton Bowl I want to go to because I know they do everything over the top, and I'd be interested to see what all the activities are. Because that's a big part of it, right? Is the activities and stuff. The week surrounding, it's not just the bowl itself. It's the things that the team gets to do. The Peach Bowl is unparalleled. There's no bowl game better than that that I've been to, at least. They just had so many different things that they did, and we got to be a part of, and it just seemed every night we were out doing something with the team, and it was really, really cool to be able to witness, document all of that stuff. Fiesta Bowl was okay. It wasn't quite, it was somewhere between there wasn't a lot in the Fiesta Bowl, which I kind of was surprised about. But I guess it's a little less than the Orange Bowl. The Orange Bowl had less, obviously, in 2021, but in 2016, there wasn't a lot of stuff either. But I guess it just varies from the bowl game to bowl game. The Outback Bowl had plenty of things to do. So I want a good mix between location as well as the activities. Citrus Bowl had a few things as well, but I mean, for me, obviously there's the Disney, so I end up getting distracted. So it's probably not good for them to go back to that. Number two, one road game and one home team opponent you would like to see Michigan play. But it would have been Oklahoma for the longest time. I think some luster's worn off from that, but I know Michigan's going to play there. So LSU, Michigan, I would say either or, you know, home. I really want to see them away, but I mean, LSU, I'll say LSU away, and I'd love to see either like Georgia or Alabama come to the Big House. I just think that would be just wild, you know, really any big SEC team. I mean, I wouldn't even mind if being like Florida. I think we're all tired of Florida, but that would probably be the other one. Number three, what's the biggest adjustment you and Zuri had to make moving into your new home? I don't know. It was kind of been, I guess, just the home ownership stuff in general. Like, so I'll give you an example. I paid someone for the first time ever to mount my TV. It's a 77-inch OLED TV. I got it as a present for myself, a birthday present for myself in 2021. And I'd never mounted it. It had just been sitting on like a stand for the whole time. Now, I've mounted probably 15 TVs in my life. It's not an issue for me, but just because of the sheer size and the fact that I wanted them to put the holes in the wall. I didn't want to put the holes in the wall myself as far as trying to hide the wires. So he got everything basically done and then started to do the wiring part last. And first he's like, okay, you have a mid beam. Okay. And then he cuts in, he's like, oh, you've got foam insulation, so I can't do it. And I'm like, oh, so now I just have a hole in my wall. And he's like, here's what you have to do. You have to do this, you know, you have to cut out a section of drywall and then do a, you know, recess the cables into the foam insulation. And then you put the drywall back on. And he's like, oh, I've done it a bunch of times. It's like, but dude, just do it. That's what I paid you to do. So I paid $300 to do something that I could have done for free, and then had to repair the hole, and I did not do a great job of it. So that's the biggest adjustment. For Zuri, it's just, I think she's enjoying having a yard. She's still tethered because I don't have a fence. Those are expensive. And just living in a fishbowl. We got windows all over the place, so she's got to try to settle down. But she's loving Fenton because it's just such a more dog-friendly city than Ann Arbor, in the sense of Ann Arbor's dog-friendly in the sense that people can have dogs and people like that they have dogs. But here, it's like walking her down the street, everyone wants to pet her. She gets stopped multiple times every single walk and is told how beautiful she is, and she's loving that. So keeping her head about her is part of it. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156 finishing us off. Do you think Michigan would ever play an international game or even a neutral site game? Or do you think it will all be home and home? Well, I mean, they've played neutral site games. They played against Florida in 2017. They played against Alabama in 2012. Ward Manuel and Jim Harbaugh had said a while ago there was an international game that they had planned. I don't know whatever happened to that. So yes, they have and they would. Hopefully. I don't particularly love the neutral site games, but I mean, if it gets you up against a big opponent, then I think it's cool. And I had a blast when they played against Florida in 2017. That was really cool. It was a cool way to start out the season, going down to Dallas and all of that. All right, we're going to continue on here in just one moment. Before we do, if you want to get into the Comfort Kingdom, then guess what? I've got just the thing for you. Bird Dogs is revolutionizing comfort when it comes to your pants and shorts. Whether you're looking for something dressy for the gym, for going out to the lake this summer, anything in between, I mean, they got joggers, they got bathing suits, they got everything. They got liners, all the things. Bird Dogs got you covered. So you look and you'll feel better wearing Bird Dogs, and they allow you the versatility of going from the beach or to the golf course, right to dinner or to your next meeting. Take my guy, the machine, Bert Kreischer. He's a big Bird Dogs guy. I've talked to him about getting him in on as a honorary captain at Michigan, because he's always like doing his comedy show in Michigan when Michigan's on the road. I digress. Take my guy Bert Kreischer, the machine. He wakes up at his lake house, he goes for a swim, smokes a cigar, grills, and chills with his family, all in his summer shorts. Just one pair of shorts. So go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. Enter the promo code lockedoncollege, and they'll throw in a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/lockedoncollege with the promo code lockedoncollege, and they'll throw in that free tumbler. All right, continuing on, moving on to our Victor's Valiant. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. How long do you have to do this to be in segment one? Mostly kidding. It's not length. You got to have people drop out. We'll probably move. You've been a consistent person. We lost Brandon S 616. So we'll probably move you up. So that's where it goes for the good for the begging here. Do you think Devin Gardner or Denard Robinson would have played better or differently under Harbaugh than Hoke? I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think Devin Gardner would have thrived in Jim Harbaugh's system. I don't know about Denard Robinson. I mean, he was made for the Rich Rod system, really. But I feel like Harbaugh would have probably used him more effectively than Hoke as well. I mean, Hoke didn't use him ineffectively. But there were just certain things that Rich Rod did that with Denard Robinson that Hoke didn't. But I mean, he would have been put under center and stuff like that under Jim Harbaugh. But I just think like Harbaugh would have looked at him and said, all right, he's a run first guy. I can use that. But it probably would have been, I don't know. Denard's probably was going to be under his best, essentially under Rich Rod. But Devin Gardner certainly had a much higher ceiling under Jim Harbaugh. That's my opinion. Perry Mitchell at Perry Mitchell 08. Obviously, the returns of Keegan and Zinter are good for the 2023 Wolverines, but does the return hinder the future of the position by limiting experience moving forward? No, because, I mean, this is what you want it to be on the offensive line. This is what it's supposed to be. This is what it was when I was growing up. was if you're an offensive lineman, you're not going to get that chance until maybe your final 2 years, maybe even just your final year. And I think that's where maybe it will hurt a little bit in the sense of like it's a another kind of light non-conference schedule this year, and next year it's not going to be. But let's not act like the at least like Joe Alhadi, he's had plenty of experience. He's started and stuff like that. If it's Miles Hinton and Joe Alhadi next year, I mean, they're plenty of experience, so it'll be fine. But no, I don't think that that's an issue. I think that's what we call a quality problem, essentially. Anton Sesmita Mangala, Sesmita Mangala, what was Bipoji's biggest contribution to the culture change? Will the current staff, especially with most of them returning, be able to continue the culture as much as the current players? I don't know really completely. I had a conversation with a former player who was very concerned about Poji's departure. I think it's in part just being able to counsel Jim Harbaugh on kind of what's needed in the moment with the players that they have. Having come in and witnessed what seen the tail end of 2020 and able to like look at 2021 and say, here's what needs to change. I think that was crucial. I don't really know the specifics. I just know that I've had those conversations where they've said like he was critical to the culture. So I would imagine they're going to try, right? They're not going to completely reverse. I do know of one thing that's been kind of reversed. I don't really feel comfortable sharing it. I do feel like that they will try to obviously move things forward positively in a similar vein. I just don't know for sure that it will work that way. The long answer is I don't know. Ike Hamlin at Hamstand 87. Can you post your Venmo for Tuck's next extension? Yes, absolutely. Real question is Jim Franklin just Ryan Day with less talent? Maybe. It's hard to really tell what Ryan Day is because he's never had to build a team. James Franklin at least took over. I mean, Bill O'Brien had kind of rebuilt Penn State enough, but let's not act like it wasn't like it was fully out of the woods or anything at that point either. James Franklin is a good coach. I mean, he did a really good job at Vanderbilt, I think he makes a lot of boneheaded in-game decisions is probably his bigger thing. So I'm going to say no, but it's hard to really know what Ryan Day is because he took over one of the best programs in the country, right? That's why it was kind of hard to really, and it's still kind of hard to know what Lincoln Riley is. I think you get a little bit because he took over okay USC team. Granted, he had half of Oklahoma transfer with him, but it's not like Jim Harbaugh took over a bad Stanford program and turned it into something. Matt Rhule took over Temple and a really struggling Baylor program coming off of the Art Briles stuff and made that a really good team. It's also hard to tell if someone caught lightning in a bottle, right? Like Scott Frost, awesome at UCF. Turned UCF from just like an okay group of five team into a multi-year powerhouse. You know, because of him, Scott Frost, they're now in the Big 12, starting this year, I believe. But he didn't get the same traction at Nebraska. So it's difficult to really know. Cause like, if you have a collection of five stars and you can continue to recruit five stars, like you don't really know how good that guy is as a coach compared to taking a bunch of three stars in kind of a similar vein as like Jim Harbaugh. James Kovaleski at Coach_Kovo. The Big Ten will now have teams in or near the three biggest cities in the U.S., New York, L.A., Chicago. Now that the Houston Cougars are joining the Big 12, could you see the Big Ten one day tapping into football crazy Texas to add Houston, the nation's fourth largest city, to its ranks? I think is it the fourth largest media market though? I think that's the question. Like they got Maryland as well because it taps into the Washington DC media market, which is huge. So I think it matters about media markets. I would wonder if maybe like TCU or SMU would be more in likes. I think that Dallas has a bigger media market than Houston, but I'm not 100 on that. But I wouldn't write anything off, right? Like, they're clearly just going to continue expanding until the whole, all of college football is the Big Ten. So, Will Mendoza at Willie Will 9. Not only has Michigan raised its own floor, but all of a sudden they seem to be early favorites for 23 to win the Big Ten. As a Michigan fan, I'm paranoid, but should I be? And if their only loss is Ohio State, is it likely Michigan misses the playoffs versus a 1-2 loss SEC team? I think it depends on how Michigan wins, number one. If they go out and steamroll Penn State, if, like, say, like, Minnesota's better than people think, or one of those types of teams is just better than people think, and Michigan steamrolls them, a la 2016 with Penn State, for instance, then that's a different thing. I think that they can lose to Ohio State, and still, if they're undefeated and lose to Ohio State in a nail-biter, they're probably still in the playoffs, because but it depends on what the field is, right? Is Michigan seen as one of the four best teams, kind of regardless? Like, kind of like Ohio State was, despite it being, you know, wiped, you know, they got run out of their own stadium. As far as the paranoia, I don't know, you do you, because I've said here before, I'm paranoid because usually when Michigan's had expectations, whether it's 2007, 2019, things haven't necessarily gone their way. So I'm a little paranoid about it, but I don't think that, you know, logically that you should be. Clark at Blue for Life 8. I saw a post of some other college doing a mass sale of merchandise in what looked to be an indoor football facility. I'm assuming it was an old stuff on clearance. Does Michigan do anything like that, or is it all just through MDN? I think that they have done stuff like that, but I don't know the last time they've done it. So now I think it's all through MDN, but at one point I believe they have done that, but I'm not 100 on that, to be honest. Two more in segment two. Joshua Carlson at Josh WFF 96. Outside of Penn State at Happy Valley and Ohio at the Big House, what is going to be Michigan football's riskiest game for a potential loss this season? I mean, probably one of three games. Either the road games at Maryland. I mean, that's right in between Penn State and Ohio State. They took Ohio State to the brink last year. They took Michigan kind of to the brink last year. Was not Michigan's sharpest game. I would also say maybe like at Minnesota. And then I would also say at Michigan State, not because I think Michigan State's necessarily really good, but that's going to be the one they circle on the calendar. We saw how unhinged Mel Tucker was during the game, what happened after the game. And even though Michigan dominated them, I mean, you've seen Michigan isn't perfect or takes them lightly or something like that, then, which I don't expect, then things can happen. Finishing us out in segment two, I'm not the one at William Cawthor 9. I think I had two from you, and I accidentally deleted the second one. I don't know where that is. Maybe I put it together. What was your dream job? In a way, I'm kind of living it, but at the same time, I think my dream job is probably like the dude from Office Space, in the sense of just do nothing. That's probably it. But this is probably as close as you can get to it, honestly. How much, if at all, do you think the basketball team will improve? I think it's hard to tell, especially with Caleb Love not being in there. Jalen Llewellyn seems like he's coming back. They don't have Hunter. They don't have Jet. They don't have Kobe. Honestly, they were close last year. It's just, for the most part, they weren't losing games by like a ton. They were losing them in the last minute or two. They just need a shooter. It'd be nice if either one emerges or they find one. Because like Jet and Kobe were streaky. They were inconsistent. They have a lot of potential, but they weren't consistent enough. They need a shooter. And I think maybe not having the crutch of Hunter Dickinson could pay off. I don't know, though. But, I don't know that they'll regress. I don't know that they'll improve. I think I'm going to have to reserve judgment until I know exactly what the roster is going to look like once it's all said and done. All right. We've got more coming up here in just a moment. All All right, we've got a lot more here in segment three, but we're running up against it, so we're going to kind of do this relatively fast. Blue Crew at Foos Pro. Is it possible for Michigan to compete in basketball when the only transfers admissions will allow are grad transfers? Yes, but, I mean, you've got to be smart and be able to get guys in that can get in. I would love it if admissions would, at least with transfers, be a lot more lax than they are. It's ridiculous, and I'm curious to see if Santa Ona will change anything when it comes to that. El Deuterino at BJ33S2014. What is your go-to camera / lens for shooting Michigan athletics? And any advice for someone just getting into photography? For just getting into photography, shoot as much as you can with as much as you can. Understand at least the very basics, your f-stop, your shutter speed, and your ISO, how those interrelate. As far as what I shoot with for football games, I use a Canon R6 mirrorless camera and a Sigma 120-300 2.8 lens, which I love, despite it having some issues and maybe sometimes not focusing as fast as I'd like. Ben Ricketts at Ricketts Ben 92. If the ACC dissolves, which schools do you think would be the best fit for the Big Ten? Probably North Carolina and Duke and Georgia Tech. They're not the exactly the sexy schools, but those are the ones that are AAU, I believe. And I think that those ones would probably have the best fit. Probably less football and more basketball fit, but certainly that would give you inroads to the South to some degree. But those would be the ones that I would probably think are likely the best fit for the Big Ten. Boston College as well, probably. I think they're on that list as well. Redneck at Redneck_BMW. Love listening to the podcast and all of your other content. Thank you. I appreciate it. Was curious, what's your thoughts on the wideouts going into the summer and maybe wide receiver recruiting? Thanks again, Isaiah. Keep up the good vibes, man. I appreciate that. I think that on paper, it's the same as it was last year. Instead of Andrell Anthony, you look at like Darius Clemens, no Ronnie Bell, but you look at like Tyler Morris, Roman Wilson, I think has got a ton of potential. Cornelius Johnson, if he just gets to more consistent, would be great. And they really like the freshmen that they've got. Not that I think you should be able to count on them. I'd love one more body in there that is maybe a little bit more seasoned, if they can find maybe get that dude from, was it UTSA or UTEP or one of those schools in North Texas, I can't remember which one, but I think that if they could get a guy like that to really bolster it and that has more production, I think that would be really good, just because I'm a little leery. As far as the wide receiver recruiting, I'd like to see it step up a little bit, but I mean, they pulled in a good class 2 years ago. I mean, Carmelo English is a 4-star. I think that they're probably not going to get a lot of 5-star receivers, but they're probably going to get a bunch of 4-stars. And as long as they can kind of keep it there instead of like, I think that probably Samaj Morgan and Frederick Moore, they think of as 4-stars despite them being 3-stars. Well, that's just my thought. Joel Feldman, PhD at Joel Feld 2555694 has an insane amount of questions. So we'll rapid fire these. How far will the Wolverines go in football this upcoming season? Why? I think that they'll make it to the national championship game. I think that they'll lose it because I just think that whoever it will be, will, like if it's Georgia, Alabama, will be better. Just higher end players, probably a slightly better game plan. I think they'll get over the hump in the playoff semifinal, but I don't know that they'll get it. That means that they'll get all the way. Can the Maize and Blue beat the Ohio State Buckeyes for a three-peat? I'm counting on it, to be honest. Michigan competes in 29 NCAA men's and women's sports. How does figure compare with other schools nationwide, both in number and in victories? I don't know, honestly. I think it's pretty high as far as numbers, but I don't know as far as the victories, all that kind of stuff. Can Michigan basketball make it to the big dance this season, or are they NIT bound and why? I reserve judgment until I know the roster. Is Michigan losing possible recruits because of its non-competitive NIL budget? I'm sure it's lost plenty, but they are working to get on par more and more. And do academics trump sports with respect to student athletes? Why or why not? Yes, because if you can't, if the admissions won't let you in, then you're not gonna play sports at Michigan. Pretty simple. Athir Cotter, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, at Athir Cotter 1. What is going to be the hardest road for Michigan this year, Penn State or Michigan State? Spartans have been giving us the problems in the past. Thanks. Penn State, easily. With Michigan State, as long as they take him seriously and don't sit there and think, oh, we can just walk in and do whatever we want, then they should win pretty easily. Penn State might be more challenging. I think that they're really talented. They've got actual athletes. Right now, I look at Michigan State's roster, and there's really no one that scares me outside of maybe a handful of their transfers. The defensive end from Texas A&M probably being the primary one, but other than that, there's not a lot that scares me on that roster. Penn State actually has guys that are really, really good and would start at Michigan. Dave T at Just for Beer 6. If Michigan does not make it to the college football playoff, it will be because they get got more than once. Really, like, I think they can afford to lose one, whether it's at Penn State or hosting Ohio State. Can't lose both. And you know very well, both teams are going to be fully focused on what, you know, trying to beat Michigan. It's Ohio State's not the king of the hill at the moment, right? And people might still look at it that way, but I'm sure internally that's not how Penn State or Ohio State are looking at. Well, Ohio State's not looking at itself that way. James Santos at JSan0101. Similar, is there any excuse / reason for Michigan not to go undefeated in the regular season? I kind of partially answered that thinking that that was the question I was answering, so I pre-read that. So yeah, it's just if you get got more than once, I do think that there is certainly, it's hard to go undefeated. You know, Alabama didn't often go undefeated in the regular season when it won national championships. It just is really, really difficult to do. So, and Michigan, even though most of the schedule is pretty easy, there's games on it that aren't. Harlan Huckleby fan at Mark Matt 9770-9003. I'd love to see a prediction number of carries running backs get. Sorry, it's percentage. I'm curious in not only the Edwards-Corum split, but which backups get the ball. I mean, we'll see with the backups. We're far away from fall camp. As far as I would put my bets on Khalil Mullings at the moment. As far as the percentage overall, I think that they'll still probably get about 55% of the carries. And then for I would imagine Corum would probably get 25%, Edwards 20%, and then 10% to the rest, I would imagine. Number of receptions or looks the receivers get, percentage, obviously the other 45 or so. I don't really have numbers for you. I mean, that's more of a late fall camp question, to be honest. Robin, the 3-2-1 finishing us out. Should Michigan and Ohio State adopt wearing the traditional home uniforms for the remainder of their existence like USC and UCLA? Yes, please, please, please. It's amazing to me that they don't, that that's not a thing, but because it would just be beautiful for them both to wear the home jerseys against each other. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back on Friday. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Peace.